If you have your Bibles, make your way to John chapter 11. John chapter 11. At HPC, at High Point Church, we have been going through Jesus's I am statements in the Gospel of John. These are statements from Jesus and his claims to be God and the metaphors that follows that point us to him. Whether he is the bread of life, I am the light, he says. I am the door in John chapter 10, as well as I am the good shepherd. And even last week, or 2 weeks ago, I am the vine. This morning, with Easter and the resurrection on all our hearts, I want to go to his I am statement speaking on the resurrection. Jesus had much to teach about the resurrection even before his own resurrection. Look with me at John chapter 11, starting in verse 17. Now when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been dead and in the tomb for 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, but Mary remained seated at the house. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you would have been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he'll rise again at the resurrection, on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe. You are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into this world." Jesus weeps. When she had said this, she went and called her sister Mary, saying in private, "The teacher is here, is calling for you." And when she heard it, she rose quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still in the place where Mary or Martha had met him. And when the Jews were with her at the house consoling her, saw Mary rise quickly and go out. They followed her, supposing that she was going to the tomb to weep there. And now Mary came to where Jesus was at and saw him. She fell at his feet, saying, "Lord, if you would have been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had with him were also weeping, he was deeply moved in the spirit and was greatly troubled. And he said to them, "Where have you laid him?" And they said to him, "Lord, come and see." And Jesus wept. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him?" But some of them said, "Could he not open the eyes?" Or, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man also not keep this man from dying?" Then Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb. It was a cave and a stone laid against it. And Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, by this time there will be an odor, for he's been dead for 4 days." And Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, thank you, for you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this on your account of the people standing around, that they might believe that you sent me." And when he had said these things, he cried out in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" The man who had tied who had been tied came out, his hands and feet bound with linen strips and his face wrapped with cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." One of my favorite games growing up was the game of life. If you've never played this game, you spin a wheel and you begin life. You pick a job, maybe a lawyer or a doctor. You never picked a teacher because they made like $10,000 a year. How are you going to survive on $10,000 a year? Can I get an amen? I think the teachers just yelled amen loudest right there. As the game of life continued, you would have little things happen to your life. Maybe you had kids. You pay your taxes. You buy a house, maybe even two. You might lose your job, go back to school. I mean, it was life, right? At the end of your life, you counted up all your money, which was usually in the millions, and you retired. The one thing that was missing in the game of life was death. That's, of course, because the game's called life. But the reality is, death is part of life. And the game of life, each one of us will face death. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27 says, "And just as it is appointed man to die once, and then comes judgment." So how should we face the game of life? Well, the resurrection has the answer. This is why we celebrate Easter. This morning, on Easter Sunday, we should consider our death in the game of life and how the resurrection of Jesus Christ changes everything. So let's look at a few of the responses to death in the game of life. The first response we see in this passage is Martha's response. Her response to death was disappointment. When Martha had talked to Jesus, she communicated her complaint. Look at verse 21 again. "Lord, if you would have been here, my brother wouldn't have died." Martha's not alone in the if questions of life. The if questions of God. These if questions come especially when we're super disappointed on how life is going. Things not going as I planned. "If only you would have done this. If only so-and-so would have." We ask these questions because we think somehow that maybe if things would have worked differently, if God would have done something differently, we wouldn't be in the mess we're in. That's precisely the implication that Martha's making to Jesus. "Lord, if you would have been here." By the way, don't be afraid to be real with God. He can handle your honesty. He can absorb your attacks. But he will always speak the truth. He will speak the truth into your troubles, into your disappointments. but we can certainly communicate our complaints to God. He'll listen. In verse 23, Jesus replied to Martha. He says, "Your brother will rise again." Martha gives the correct Sunday school answer in verse 24. I know he'll rise again at the last day. See, Martha needed a lesson on the resurrection. We don't need a Savior who can just help us. We need a Savior who can resurrect us. We don't just need a Savior who helps us when life gets tough. We need a Savior who can help us when our life ends. Martha doesn't lack saving faith. She lacked a growing faith. And that's why the resurrection is so critical for our growth as followers of Jesus Christ. Martha, like you and I, we need to trust God when things are out of control, that Jesus is in control of every circumstance and every situation. Martha, like you and I, we need to trust God's word and apply them for our faith to grow. You know, in this game of life, Martha needed the truth of the resurrection that Jesus will teach her, and so that she can grow in her faith. And so do we. It's easy, isn't it, to trust God when things are going well? As long as the check comes at payday, it's easy to recognize how wonderful God is when He provides for us. Our faith can be very practical as long as our situations aren't out of control. When you really trust, when you really have trust in Jesus, you find the measurement of your faith when the trials come, when disappointment comes. Martha needed the impact of the resurrection to grow her saving faith. And Jesus was going to encourage her in all of her disappointments. So that's Martha's response. Let's look at Mary's response to death. Hers was even worse as far as the depth of her disappointment. It wasn't just disappointment. Hers was despair. Mary's reaction was more than disappointment. Yes, in verse 32, she does say the same thing. "Lord, if you would have been here, my brother wouldn't have died." She's disappointed. But there's something different about what she does. And you can see it here. It says, Jesus saw her weeping. Now, this weeping word is the word for despair. It is literally someone who has no hope that anything's going to change. Despair is the idea that there nothing can change. There's no hope. And by the way, Jesus wants to meet Mary in this circumstance too. See, Mary and Martha were believers, but they were struggling. And Jesus gives both of them exactly what they need. So let's look at Jesus' response to death in the game of life. Well, Jesus' response is that which is hope. With the resurrection gives all of us who know Christ as our Lord and Savior, and to those who don't, this is the answer to disappointments and despair. Hope. Hope is what you need. Jesus tells Martha in verse 25, I am the resurrection and the life. What is Jesus' response to death? What is his response to disappointment, to despair? Hope. But hope in him. See, the resurrection of Lazarus points us to a greater resurrection that will happen in Jesus Christ. That did happen through Jesus Christ. The resurrection and the life are not a change of circumstances. They are the embodiment of who Jesus is himself. I am, Jesus says. Again, this is a statement of his deity. I am Yahweh. I am the Messiah. I am the anointed one, and I will deliver God's people from their sin. That's interesting. Okay, don't get distracted. Hang in there. Satan doesn't like this part. Jesus says, I am the resurrection. The word resurrection means to be standing up again. To raise someone. To stand when they're dead. Jesus has the power to make people that are dead alive. Not just physically, but spiritually. And that's exactly what conversion is. Conversion, spiritual conversion, is when he takes dead people and makes them alive. Listen to what Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2. He says, and you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince and the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy because of the great love in which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, he made us alive. Together with Christ, by grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Jesus doesn't mean, when he talks about these things in John, just like Paul is saying, like Jesus is saying, it doesn't mean that we're not going to physically die. Even Lazarus dies again. What Jesus is saying, he said this in verse 25, though he die. In 11 verse 25, is that up there? Yes, Jesus said to her, I'm the resurrection. No, yes, believes in me, though he die. Jesus knows we're going to die. We are all going to physically die. But Jesus needs us to understand the impact that the resurrection has. Not just physically, but spiritually. Jesus being the resurrection and life means that he will make dead people alive by saving them and giving them eternal life. See, Jesus raised Lazarus from a physical death to show that he has the power because he's God. He can not only raise the physical dead, but he can raise the spiritual dead. And that's what he does through the resurrection. Look at verses 39 through 44 again with me. You can see, think of this as a spiritual awakening. Not only a physical awakening of Lazarus, but the spiritual awakening that any one of us have in Christ Jesus. Jesus said, take the stone away. We're in that tomb, just like Lazarus. Dead men. Martha said, he's dead. By this time, Lord, there's an odor. 4 days. Keep going. Jesus said to her, did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? So they took the stone away. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you heard me. I knew that you will always hear me. But I said this on the account of the people standing around, that they may believe that you sent me. When he said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. The man who had died came out. His hands and his feet were bound with linen strips and his face wrapped with cloth. Jesus said to them, unbind him and let him go. And that's exactly what he does for every one of us in Christ. We are free from the penalty of sin to live in the resurrection every single day. Martha, in her disappointment, Mary, in her despair, needed to see the impact of the resurrection. They needed to see what Jesus can do. And we have that because Jesus is alive. Some of you have friends or family, and you're wondering, will they ever get it? They're so blind to their need of a Savior. Take hope, for Jesus will move that stone away. That heart of stone, Jesus can make alive. That's what Jesus does. Jesus makes dead people alive. The life that Jesus is talking about, Jesus is talking about living with him. Every day, when Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life, he is saying he is the epitome of real living. Mary and Martha needed to know this, and so do we. Jesus said it in John 10:10 when he says, I didn't come, or the thief came to steal and to kill and destroy, but I came that they might have life and have it abundantly. We're not talking about having everything that you want. We're talking about having Jesus. We often think that life is doing whatever we want. For me, before I was saved, before Jesus opened my eyes to the truth that I was a sinner in need of saving, I found life in drugs and partying and making money. Having God as just some tag along to my life. Even now, I've been a follower of Jesus for 20 years. I want comfort. I want security. I want an easier life. The resurrection teaches me that's not life. Because the life is a person, not a circumstance. In the game of life, you know when your game is over. You count up your money and you retire. In the real game of life, you don't. My question is, will your game continue with Christ or without it? Again, remember this verse, Hebrews 9:27, and it is just as it is, and just as it is appointed for man to die once, and after that comes judgment. The question is, are you living today? Knowing the resurrection and the life. Not doing whatever you want, but living for him. who died for you and gave you eternal life. Hell was created for demons and Satan. God does not want you to go there. We choose to go there if we don't believe. John says it in chapter 3, verse 17, for he says, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Salvation comes through faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Do not be deceived. Any plan of yours that neglects Jesus and his shed blood is doomed to fail. Good works will never get it done. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 says, for by grace you are saved through faith. This is not of your own doing, but a gift from God. Not by works so that no one can boast. Maybe you think, if I just turn a new leaf, that will never get the job done. When you come to trust Jesus, you confess that Jesus died for your sins, that he rose from the dead. When you turn from your unbelief and you turn to Jesus Christ, you will find that the job is already done. It is finished. Jesus is alive. And his resurrection should impact us just as much as it did when we first believed for salvation. So you have to answer the question, just like Martha had to. Do you believe this? Do you? Jesus makes it abundantly clear. Those who know him, those who are known by him, their lives change. They are living in the resurrection and the life. They are living in Christ. And what a life it is. Let's pray. Gracious and Heavenly Father, I thank you for the opportunity once again. Lord, even in this building, Lord, we get the reminder that as we gather together, wherever we would gather, you are here. And your desire is for all of us to understand the impact of the resurrection and the life. Lord, I pray to those who are here. Maybe they've been invited. Maybe they've been here maybe they've been at High Point Church for a long time, and yet they still do not trust you. Holy Spirit, cause them to believe today. Cause them to confess their need for a Savior alone. And that they could leave here with the resurrection and the life. And for those of us who do know him, may our lives continually be reminded through our disappointments and through our despair that you are in control. And we love you. For it's in Jesus' name I pray, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. Well, praise God. Thank you, worship team. Thank you, Matt. Give them a round of applause. They've been singing twice, and those songs I already preached, and so I get kind of excited. You guys know me, and so if I start screeching like a 15-year-old boy just reaching puberty, it's because I've already been yelling for an hour. That was funny, right? If you have your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 11. Make your way there, Luke chapter 11. At HPC, at High Point Church, we have been going through Jesus' I am statements in the Gospel of John. These are statements from Jesus and his claims to be God in the flesh. And the metaphor that follows, I am the bread of life, I am the light of the world, I am the door, I am the good shepherd, I am the vine, and this morning, I am the resurrection and the life. This morning with Easter and the resurrection on our hearts, I think this very statement of Jesus is as important as any in all of Scripture. Jesus had much to teach about his resurrection or about the resurrection even before his own. And look with me at John chapter 11. Now when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, and about 2 miles off, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, but Mary remained seated at the house. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you would have been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he'll rise again at the resurrection in the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into this world." When she had said this, she went and called her sister Mary, saying in private, "The teacher, he's calling for you." And when she had heard it, she rose quickly and she went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still in the place that Martha had met him. When the Jews were with her in the house consoling her, they saw Mary rise quickly and go out. They followed her, supposing that she was going to the tomb to weep there. Now when Mary had came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet, saying to him, "Lord, if you would have been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled. And he said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus wept. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him?" But some of them said, "Could not he, who opened the eyes of the blind man, also have kept this man from dying?" Then Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb. It was a cave and a stone laid against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, by this time there will be an odor. It's been 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you've heard me. I knew that you always hear me. But I said this on the account of people standing around, that they might believe that you sent me." When he had said these things, he cried out in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" The man who had died came out, his hands and feet bound with linen strips and his face wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." One of my favorite games growing up was the game of life. If you've never played this game, you spin a wheel, and you begin life. You pick a job, maybe a lawyer or a doctor, that's where the big money was. Never a teacher, because they made $10,000 a year. And who can live off $10,000 a year? No teachers in here? Can I get an amen, teachers? No one wanted to be a teacher in this game. As the game of life continued, you would have little things that would happen to you. You'd have kids. You paid your taxes. You buy a house, maybe two, because you know you can. You might lose a job and have to go back to school and get another job. I mean, it was life. At the end of your life, if you remember, you counted all of your money, which was in the millions, of course, and then you retired. The one thing that was missing in this game of life was death. That is, of course, because the game was called life. But the reality is, for all of us, death is part of life. And in the game of life, all of us will face death. Hebrews chapter 9 says this, as it is appointed once for man to die, and after that comes judgment. So how should we face death in our game of life? Well, the resurrection has the answer. It's why we celebrate Easter, not just on Easter, follower of Christ. We celebrate the resurrection daily. And that's what Jesus wants to teach Mary and Martha. This morning on Easter Sunday, we should consider death in our game of life. And how the resurrection of Jesus Christ changes everything. So let's look at the first response to death in the game of life. It's Martha's response. And hers is one of disappointment. When Martha talked to Jesus, she communicated her complaint. In verse 21, Lord, if you would have been here, my brother wouldn't have died. Martha's not alone, is she? In asking if questions of God. Especially when you're disappointed in your life. Things not going as planned. If only I would have done this. If only so-and-so would have done that. We ask these questions because we think somehow that maybe if things had worked out a little differently, if the Lord would have done something, we wouldn't be in the mess we're in. That's precisely the implication that Martha is making when she says, Lord, if you would have been here. By the way, don't be afraid of being real to God. He can handle your honesty. He can absorb your attacks. But he will always speak the truth into your troubles. But it's okay. It's okay to communicate your complaints. But you must listen to his response. In verse 23, Jesus does respond. He says, your brother will rise again. And Martha, of course, gives the great Sunday school answer. In verse 24, I know. He's going to rise at the resurrection in the last day. She understands in her head, but it hasn't filtered down to her heart. Martha needed this lesson of the resurrection. We do not need a Savior who can just help us. We need a Savior who can resurrect us. We do not need a Savior who can help us when life gets tough. We need a Savior who can help us when our life ends. Martha doesn't lack saving faith. She lacked a growing faith, and that's why the resurrection was so important. Martha, like you and I, we need to trust God that He is in control of all circumstances of life and death for our saving faith to grow as well. Martha, like you and I, needs to trust what God says in His Word and apply it so that our saving faith grows. In the game of life, Martha needed the truth of the resurrection that Jesus will teach her so that her faith can grow. And so do we. See, it's easy to trust God, isn't it? When everything's going well. As long as your check comes at payday. It's easy to recognize how wonderful the Lord provides when you have all that you need. Our faith can be very practical as long as you're not in a situation where you feel like it's out of control. That's where the resurrection comes in. When you really have trust of God, of Jesus Christ, His Son, you will find truly the measurement of your faith. Martha needed the impact of the resurrection to grow her faith, to encourage her in her disappointing life. Well, what about Mary? Well, I think Mary was disappointed too. She says the exact same thing that Martha says. Lord, if you would have been here, look at verse 32. If you would have been here, my brother would not have died. So the same disappointment that Martha had, Mary had. But there was something different about Mary. It says in verse 33, when Jesus saw her weeping. We didn't see that from Martha. And it's an interesting word, this word weeping. The word weeping carries the idea of a despair. In other words, Mary was more than disappointed. She was in despair. The word means to have no hope at all. This is clearly a state of depression that is even more than a circumstantial disappointment. She thinks there's no hope. And Jesus wants to meet her there too. Some of you are here and you're disappointed, but you get through things. But there are some things that are so heavy and it's leading to a place where you think nothing's going to change. Maybe in my home, maybe at work, wherever you're at, and you're thinking there's no hope, and Jesus wants to meet you there too. With the resurrection. See, Mary and Martha, they were believers, but they were struggling. And Jesus gives them both what they need. They need the truth of the resurrection. So let's look at Jesus' response to the game of life. And his response is hope. We just sang about it. Jesus tells Martha in verse 25, I am the resurrection and the life. What is Jesus' response to death, to disappointment, to despair? Hope. Hope in him. The resurrection of Lazarus points us to a greater resurrection found in Jesus Christ. The resurrection and the life are not a change of circumstances. They are the embodiment of who Jesus is. We must know him. We must follow him. Jesus says, I am. This is, again, a statement of deity. Jesus is saying, I am Yahweh. I am the Messiah. I am the anointed one, and I will deliver you from death. Which is because of their sin. I am the resurrection. The word means to stand up again. Rise. Someone who can stand that is dead. Jesus is declaring to Martha, I have the power over death, both physically and spiritually. And he will make dead people rise. If you are a follower of Christ, that's exactly what he did for you. You were spiritually dead, and he made you alive. Look what Paul writes about this in Ephesians chapter 2. Paul writes, and you were dead. He's talking to believers. You were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince and the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we also once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy because of his great love, which he loved us, catch this, even when we were dead in our trespasses, he made us alive. Together with Christ, by grace, you have been saved. And he raised us up. See, he stood us up, dead men walking with him and seated with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Jesus doesn't tell Mary and Martha that we're not going to die. That we all are going to die. Even Lazarus, though he's going to raise him as an example, he still died. He says it in verse 25. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and life. Whoever believes in me, though he die. Jesus is the resurrection and the life. It means he will make dead people alive by saving them and giving them eternal life. See, Jesus raised Lazarus from a physical death to show that he has the power over both. And everyone had to see it. So that when Jesus does rise from the dead, they will see he's the embodiment of the resurrection and the life. See, Lazarus was this perfect example of even our spiritual death before we knew Christ. Look at Lazarus again. See the picture spiritually speaking. Starting in verse 39, Jesus said, take away the stone. You know, by the way, when you come to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, he has to take away your cold heart stone, your heart of stone, and give you a new heart to make you alive. Did you know that? Jesus says, take away the stone. Martha said, Lord, by this time, the odor, he's been dead for 4 days. Jesus said to her, did I not tell you? If you believed, trusted, relied on, you would see the glory of God. So they took away the stone, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this on the account of the people standing around. They too needed to hear and see the impact of the resurrection, like he does in every believer's life. Sorry, just real quick. Do people see the impact of the resurrection in your life? Because they're certainly going to see it in Lazarus. When he said to these things, he cried out, Lazarus, come out. And the man who died came out. This is the dead man walking. This is a spiritual salvation illustrated in a physical salvation, a physical healing. The hands and feet bound in linen strips, and Jesus said to them, unbind him and let him go. Oh, praise God, this is what it means to be a believer in Christ. Martha, in her disappointment, Mary, in her despair, needed to see the impact of the resurrection. They needed to see that Jesus can do something. How much more is Jesus' resurrection in the lives of believers today? People see in us that know Christ as their Lord and Savior that Jesus can do anything. He can even save a drug dealing, fake ID making sinner like me. A sinner like you. He can make dead people walk. He makes them alive. Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. Jesus is talking about living for him every day, not just when things get tough. Mary and Martha needed Jesus, most importantly, in their daily life. You know, oftentimes we think of Easter, and I was one of these people. I only went to church on Christmas and Easter. I wasn't a believer, but my parents would make me come, and I would listen. I would check in for a couple days, and then I'd check out and live my life. Mary and Martha needed to know, you and I need to know, that life is not a thing we do. Life is a person we need. It's Jesus. Martha and Mary needed Jesus, not when things are tough, though that's true. They needed Jesus, period. He is the resurrection and the life. We often think that life is just doing whatever we want. For me, again, before I was saved, it was drugs and partying, making money, having God just tag along with my life. Even now, as a follower of Jesus Christ, I want comfort. I want security. I want an easier life. What this passage teaches me, what it should teach all of us who know Christ, is that the resurrection is Jesus. He is my life. The life is a person, not a circumstance. Many of us in this room are looking for a better life. What you need is Jesus. In the game of life, you know when your game's over. Again, you count your money and you retire. But in the real game of life, you don't know when that day is coming. Will your game of life continue with Christ or without? Because you will live eternally with Him or separated from Him. Again, Hebrews 9:27, it says, it's appointed man for him to die once, and then comes judgment. So the question we ask on Resurrection Sunday, that being any other day, are we living today? Knowing the resurrection and the life, not just doing whatever I want, but living for Him. Who died for me and gave me eternal life. You know, hell was created for demons and for Satan. God does not want us there. But you can choose to go there. John chapter 3 verse 17 says so. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through Him. Hell was created for the demons and for Satan. But if you choose not to believe in the resurrection and the life, you too will go there. Salvation comes through our Lord Jesus Christ. Do not be deceived. Any plan that neglects Jesus and His shed blood on the cross and His resurrection is failed at the beginning. Good works, it won't get the job done. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 says, for by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not of your own doing, but a gift from God, not by works so that no one can boast. Maybe you're here and you think, well, I just want to turn over a new leaf. That will not get the job done. When you come to trust Jesus, to confess that Jesus died for your sins, that He rose from the dead, when you turn from your unbelief and you turn to Jesus, you will find that the job is already done through His resurrection. Jesus is alive. And His resurrection should impact just as much today than it did when I first accepted Him as my Lord and Savior. Mary and Martha needed to learn that, and so do we. He's waiting for you to trust what He says. Look at verse 26 as we close. Do you believe this? Do you believe that life is not found in the things that you have, but life is found in the Son of Man? Then live a life for Him, and point as many people as you can to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Gracious and Heavenly Father, I thank You for the reminder, even before Your resurrection, of the resurrection of Lazarus. And Lord, I pray for those that do know You, that are here celebrating the resurrection and the life, that they would just leave here not with any sort of feel good that we went to church, but to leave here with a mission to live with Jesus.